Welcome to the Fleet FYI's podcast, the weekly podcast by Utilimark that reveals how you can make the most of your data for smarter fleet management. My name is Gretchen, and every week I'll be sharing with you not only over two decades worth of data insights, but some of the industry's hottest talking points and key metric analysis with the aim to help you better understand your fleet from every angle. Before we begin, if this is the first time you've heard our show, thanks for stopping by. Once you've finished today's episode, if you could take a few minutes to leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform, I would really appreciate it. Give us a rating, 5 stars, I hope, or tell us what you liked, or leave us a comment or a question about what you've heard in today's episode. If we haven't yet covered a topic that you're interested in hearing more about, let us know. We would be happy to go over it in detail in a later episode. Let's dig in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Fleet FYI's podcast. I'm so excited to be back and talking to you all again today. But before I kick off today's episode, I just wanted to let you know that our annual fleet compensation survey is finally available for you to download, and I can't wait for you to get your hands on it. Not only will you be able to find out super interesting information like what the average salary was in the fleet industry for 2023, but you'll also be able to learn a little bit more about what's actually included in your peers' compensation packages. Of course, you'll not know by name or by company. All of that information is strictly confidential, but you'll be able to understand whether or not some companies are including education perks, whether it's independent certifications or help for college tuition, or if it's something more like on-the-job training or annual raises. You'll be able to learn all this and more in this resource, which is completely free for you to download. All you need to do is head over to www.utilimark.com, utilimarc.com/surveys, and all the information you will need will be right there. Like I said, I can't wait for you to get your hands on this, but before I get even further into fleet compensation details, I want to talk about biodiesel and what it means for fleets. So without any further ado, let's get into today's show. Alrighty, so today we are talking about biodiesel and alternative fuels in general. So to me, it seems like every few years there's a new green fuel that's hitting the market with a ton of hope and a ton of promise for becoming the next long-term successor to our traditional fossil fuels. And at this point, we've got natural gas in different forms of ethanol, e-fuel, biodiesel, and now renewable diesel. And whilst not all of these fuels are necessarily renewable, quote unquote, what makes them green, so to say, is their lower emissions output when compared to the more common fuels like gasoline and your traditional diesel counterparts. Many are also derived from biomass, which means all kinds of different organic matter, which makes them renewable in addition to being a lower emission option. However, these alternative fuels can be easily mixed up as they share many similarities in uses, but each has very different chemical compositions that can affect their performance and their practicality in internal combustion engines. For example, both biodiesel and renewable diesel sound like different names for the same alternative fuel, and to be fair, they are made from the same substances. However, because of how they are each processed, we end up with two totally different fuels that do perform differently with a different chemical makeup. So let's talk about how they compare. So the question, biodiesel or renewable diesel? Well, both of them are sustainable, and they're alternative fuels that are produced from repurposed organic waste, such as animal fats and cooking oils. And the ways in which they are processed, though, that's what gives us this completely different chemical composition that I was talking about. So biodiesel, let's start with that. It takes three ingredients to make: the animal fats or the oils, an alcohol, which is typically ethanol or methanol, and a catalyst. Now, this fuel is made through a process called transesterification, which separates glycerin from the fat or the oil, and the result is a clean-burning, fuel-grade diesel replacement that can be used in a large majority of diesel engines with no modifications. Renewable diesel, on the other hand, is derived from the same types of biomass as biodiesel, but goes through a similar process as petroleum diesel, which makes the two chemically identical. This is an incredibly attractive option for fleets that worry about encountering performance issues if potentially switching to alternative fuels, or that might be something that's on the cards in the next few years. Now, essentially, what conventional diesel and renewable diesel are is they're both hydrocarbons. And because of this, fleets using renewable diesel won't necessarily have to worry about challenges regarding freezing temperature and potential storage. But let's get into the pricing and the performance of these two fuels. So, in terms of biodiesel, customers have two different options at the current moment: B99/100 or B20, pure biodiesel or a blend. So, whilst B100 biodiesel is the more sustainable, eco-friendly option, there can be up to a 10% energy loss from putting the fuel in the tank or when it's created to when it's actually burned. B20 is a blend of biodiesel to petroleum diesel at a 20-80 ratio, which significantly boosts energy efficiency, but doesn't necessarily burn as cleanly as the pure biofuel. So for renewable diesel users, no blending at all is required to achieve the same performance as conventional petroleum diesel. Fleets also wouldn't have to modify any vehicle equipment or any fueling infrastructure should they decide to switch, which is, I think, a really massive benefit, and it's something that makes this option particularly attractive. Because why? The transition can happen not only seamlessly, but immediately. Now, in the US, both of these diesel replacements are used primarily in California. In July 2022, so last year, at the peak of recent fuel inflation, some of the average prices in the state were pretty high, I'm not going to lie to you. So petroleum diesel, it was at about $6.55 a gallon. Renewable diesel, a similar track, $6.51. But then when you bring down to biodiesel of B100 or B20, those were sitting pretty consistent at $6.10 and $6.08 respectively. Now, evidently, both of these biofuels are cheaper than their fossil fuel counterpart, with biodiesel being the cheapest of all. But for both fuels, changing in price, of course, depends directly on the agriculture industry, as well as similar fluctuations to what the actual fuel industry is dependent on. Now, if we look at renewable diesel on the road, it's newer to the market than biodiesel is, that's for sure, and it's subsequently produced and used way less today as a result. You know, it's the new kid on the block, right? It's not the popular option just yet. However, I do think that as fleets start to learn about it, I think they'll realize the massive opportunity that it creates in terms of boosting fleet sustainability and reducing fuel costs, whilst also being an option that, like we mentioned before, you don't have to replace fueling infrastructure, you don't need to make any tweaks in your equipment. It's actually a really easy way to go on more of that sustainability track whilst keeping your internal combustion engine vehicles on the road. The city of Oakland in California is one fleet that jumped at this opportunity. We've been looking at their progress and their success with this initiative for a long time. The city has been exclusively using renewable diesel in all of their diesel-powered vehicles and off-road equipment since 2015. Now, the adoption of this fuel helped the fleet overall avoid around 250,000 gallons of petroleum diesel and 1,500 tons of greenhouse gas emissions every single year. And as more fleets are striving to achieve ambitious sustainability goals, renewable diesel could be another option for making that possible. But I'm curious if you have any questions. I know I threw a lot of information at you, and if you have any questions about renewable fuels, renewable diesel, biodiesel, anything under the sun, please, please, please let me know. I would love to hear from you and see what you have to say. You can always send me an email, you can tag me on LinkedIn, use the hashtag UtilimarkFleetFYIs, or you can send me a carrier pigeon, because you all know how much I love that. And before I leave you for today, I just wanted to remind you that if you haven't already, if you could leave us a 5-star review, I hope, or a comment on one of your favorite podcasting platforms. I love Spotify and Apple Podcasts, but if you have a different favorite, I would love to see your review there as well. It really helps us out, and it also helps more folks like you find our show and be able to tune into Fleet FYIs. So now that I've gotten through my spiel, I'm wishing you all a very happy weekend, and I will see you all next week for another episode of Fleet FYIs. Ciao. Hey there, it's me again. I think it's time to cue the virtual high five because you've just finished listening to another episode of the Fleet FYIs podcast. If you're already wanting more on all things fleet and vehicle technology, head over to utilimark.com, which is utilimark with a C, UTILIMARC.com, for this episode's show notes and extra insights coming straight from our analyst to you. That's all from me this week, so until next time, I'll catch you later.